The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God.
If you would like to know how you can become a Harvest Partner, just go to harvest.org. That's harvest.org.
Coming up on today's edition of A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie brings practical counsel for our prayer lives.
All prayers are answered effectively, right? Yes, no, or wait. We don't like no generally. We usually are happy with yes. We definitely don't like wait. But is there anything we can do to see our prayers answered more often in the affirmative? I believe there is. So I want to talk to you about secrets to having your prayers answered in the affirmative.
This is the day when the lost are found.
Is one of our most important privileges and one of our most powerful tools. Yet many of us don't feel like we've maximized our prayer lives. Well, today on A New Beginning, hopefully we'll all take a giant step forward. Pastor Greg Laurie looks in the Lord's model for prayer to bring us practical counsel we can all put to work today. He's on the island of Maui today, having just visited and preached at one of the satellite campuses of his home church in Southern California.
You know, if you're in a restaurant and someone is seated at a table near you and they're having a conversation you may not even be noticing, but if one of them says, I want to tell you a secret, and no matter what, I don't want you to share this with anyone, question, do you listen in? Of course you do. Even if you don't know the people, you want to know a secret. You know, a game I often play with my grandkids is when we're going somewhere, maybe in a restaurant or here or there, I'll say, now we can go the regular way or we can go the secret way. Which way do you want to go? They always say, we want to go the secret way. And I just take them in a side door or something. But I think we all like secrets. Reminds me of three psychiatrists that were at a convention and they were hanging out together. And one of them said, you know, the problem is we hear everybody else's problems, but we don't have anyone that we can discuss our problems with. And wouldn't it be nice if we could all just share what we're struggling with? And hey, if we can't trust each other, who can we trust? They all agreed. So the first guy said, you know, here's my problem. I have a real issue with overspending. Oh, so I'm always spending too much money. So now I overbill my patients and they pay for it. The second guy said, oh, well, I have a problem with drugs. In fact, I actually have my patients go out and buy me illegal drugs. The third guy said, oh, well, my problem is I can't keep secrets and I can't wait to get out of this place. And guess what? God has some secrets too. In fact, the Bible says the secret of the Lord is with those that fear him. Now, in a way, they're not really secrets because they're plainly in the pages of the Bible. But I think for some, they might seem like a secret because they've never heard these things before. So I want to talk to you in this message about secrets to having your prayers answered. Listen, in the affirmative. You know, all prayers are answered effectively, right? Yes, no, or wait. We don't like no generally. We usually are happy with yes. We definitely don't like wait. But is there anything we can do to see our prayers answered more often in the affirmative? I believe there is. So I want to talk to you in this message about secrets to having your prayers answered in the affirmative. Jesus said, after this manner, therefore, you should pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil or the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I love that prayer. As I pointed out, it's not just a great prayer to pray. It's a template for all prayer. Heard a story of a father and his little boy who were praying before bed, and the dad said, son, go ahead and pray. And the little guy prayed, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. The dad stops him, wait, what? What did you just call God? Why did you call God Howard? Well, Dad, that's what they call him down at church, the little guy said. The father said, what are you talking about? The little boy said, they pray, our Father who art in heaven, Howard be your name. No, it's not Howard. It's Hallowed. What does that mean? It means set apart, honored, and glorified be the name of the Lord. For us as followers of Jesus, we need to understand that when we come into God's presence, we need to just stop and recognize we're speaking to the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving creator of the universe. I think if we will do that, it will change the way that we pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Just let it sink in for a moment. And then we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Effectively, we're saying to the Lord, if what I'm about to pray violates your will in any way, shape, or form, I ask you to overrule it. One thing you'll discover after you've walked with the Lord for a time is God's plans are better than your plans, and his will is better than your will. Remember Jesus there in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. He was submitting to the will of the Father. You say, but yeah, but Greg, then he was beaten and crucified. Yes, and all the sins of the world were paid for. Sometimes the will of God doesn't look good in the moment, but in the big picture, you'll see that it really was good. I'm convinced when we get to heaven and look back on the events of earth from an eternal perspective, we'll see everything differently. I think perhaps things we thought were good on earth will determine later may not have been as good as we thought, and things that we were sure were really bad on earth ultimately work together for God's good. So never be afraid to commit your purpose and your future to God. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then Jesus taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Basically, when we pray that prayer, we're acknowledging that everything that we have has come from God, and everything that we need in the future must continue to come from God. But now we come to the first secret to answered prayer. If you don't get this one right, nothing else really matters. Here it is. He teaches us to pray, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. If I have unconfessed sin in my life, all of the prayers in the world will really accomplish nothing. God says, it's not that my ear is heavy that I can't hear. It's not that my arm is short that I can't save, but your sins have separated you from me. The psalmist said, if I regard or hang on to iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If you don't confess your sins, it's like you just hung your phone up on God. There still may be relationship. That doesn't go away because that's given to you as a result of your believing in Jesus, but fellowship and communication can be severed temporarily, but it can be reconnected to the confession of sin. Some say, well, I don't really know that I have any sins to confess. Oh, we have to go back to the first part of the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven. The more we see God in his glory, the more we'll see ourselves and our sinfulness. So here's the point. We have to come and admit our sin, and we have sin. You know, I've kind of light colored pants on today, and I always notice whenever I wear light pants, I spill on myself more. But you know what I realize is I am always spilling on myself. I just wear dark jeans normally and I don't see the stains. And I think you sin more than you think you sin because there are sins of commission and omission. A sin of commission, of course, is doing what you should not do. A sin of omission is not doing what you should do. So just trust me when I tell you, it's a good thing on a regular basis, on a daily basis, hey, maybe even on an hourly basis to say, forgive us our sin as we forgive those who have sinned against us.
Coming up on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg explains there's an important principle to answered prayer found in a famous Broadway show. Think you know what it is? That's coming up. We hear from so many listeners who have found strength through Pastor Greg's ministry, and it often helps them in life's most difficult times.
Dear Pastor Greg, I was gifted your book, As It Is in Heaven, about 2 months ago from a friend. I couldn't put it down. At the beginning of this year, my brother and 10-year-old nephew died in a tragic house fire that took my grandparents' homestead to the ground in minutes before the firefighters could arrive. We went through 2.5 months with no answers, until my poor father discovered my brother's remains in the rubble. Authorities believe my brother had been too close to the explosion and basically was made into dust. My brother had a propane tank in the house with a small heater keeping the pipes from freezing, and the tank exploded and took their lives with it. These last 3 months have been a nightmare, as you can imagine. I'm writing to say I believe it's mostly thanks to you and your book that I have been walking closer to Jesus than I ever have. And through discovering you, I've been able to be a solid rock of unwavering faith for my family and my parents. Since I've read your book, I have found your podcasts, and I listen every single night while doing my computer work and even when I'm driving. Up until now, I was a lukewarm Christian. I'd never fully read the Bible and wasn't thirsty to learn more. Your sermons on trials and suffering have brought me so much hope, more than I can really explain. You have changed my life for the best.
We're blessed to hear when Pastor Greg's message has helped, especially in a time of trial. Would you consider sharing your story with us? If so, call and leave us a message at 1-866-871-1144, 1-866-871-1144.
We've caught up with Pastor Greg today in Hawaii. He often preaches at the satellite campus of Harvest Christian Fellowship on the island of Maui. And today, he's bringing us insights on prayer.
Okay, now principle number 2 for having your prayer answered in the affirmative, another secret. This is a big one. You must forgive others. Let's go back to the Lord's Prayer again. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Now, I think we're okay with the part about being forgiven by God. Here's the big one. Are we willing to forgive other people? Listen, forgiven people need to be forgiving people. See, if you're not forgiven by God, then you're racked with guilt. But if you don't forgive others, you're consumed by bitterness. Unforgiving people are bitter people. No one wants to hang around them because they're always upset and they're always ranting. They dine out alone, you know, when the announcement is made, bitter party of one. You need to forgive. Is there someone right now that you need to forgive that has sinned against you? Here's what Jesus says. If you come and you bring your gift in the temple and you remember that someone has something against you, go to that person and seek reconciliation with them, then bring your gift to the altar. Isn't that interesting? He's saying that they have something against you. You might say, well, that's their problem. Actually, no, it's kind of your problem too. You need to deal with it, and you need to go to that person, and you need to forgive them. It was C.S. Lewis who once said, forgiveness is a lovely idea until we have someone to forgive. You know, another way that verse is translated, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who've sinned against us, is forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are indebted to us. And actually, that's accurate because the word that is used there for sin also implies debt, and that's why it's often translated that way. First, we have to be forgiven of our debts. Listen, your debt is so high, there's no way you could ever pay it back, the debt of sin. That's why we all have to just basically go chapter 11 spiritually and declare complete bankruptcy and come in total dependence to God who will forgive us. You know, in Colossians 3, it says that Christ canceled the debts that were against us, taking them out of the way, nailing them to the cross. See, the Ten Commandments condemns you, it condemns me, we all fall short. And so Jesus took that debt that we owed and he paid it for us. He came to pay a debt he did not owe because we owed a debt we could not pay. So forgive us our debts, our sins, as we forgive those who are indebted to us or have sinned against us. You know, one of my favorite stories is called Les Miserables, written by Victor Hugo many years ago, actually, and was made into a Broadway show and then later into a movie. So The main character of Les Miserables is Jean Valjean. And he's a good man, and he has a sister who's starving along with their children. So he steals a loaf of bread to feed them. He's arrested, and he's sent to prison. And eventually he's released from prison, but he can't find employment anywhere. And so he stops communicating with them. He violates parole, and an arresting officer named Javert is sent after him. In the most recent film, Javert was played by Russell Crowe, Jean Valjean played by Hugh Jackman. And so Jean Valjean finds shelter in a monastery, and they're very generous to him. They give him a warm meal, they give him a bed, and the priest has compassion on Jean Valjean. Well, in the night, Jean Valjean sees these valuable candlesticks. He decides to steal them, and he's arrested immediately, brought back to the monastery, and the priest sees his dilemma. If he goes back to prison, he may never get out again. And the priest said, no, I gave those to Jean Valjean. Once the police leave, the priest gives Jean Valjean the two candlesticks he stole that are made out of silver and says to him, you've been spared by God. Now go and make an honest man out of yourself. And in Hugo's book, the priest says, Jean Valjean, my brother, you no longer belong to evil, but to good. It is your soul I buy from you, and I give it to God. So Jean Valjean has violated parole, and he's being hunted by Javert, played by Russell Crowe. And so Hugh Jackman is running from him. So basically, we have Gladiator chasing the Wolverine, right? And they come to a point where Jean Valjean could have killed Russell Crowe, i.e. Javert, but he chooses not to do it. Jean Valjean establishes a new identity as the mayor of a town. A girl that worked for him named Fantine is fired, and she turns to prostitution. She has a child as well. She's trying to support this child. The child's name is Cosette. So there in her deathbed, Jean Valjean promises to take care of Cosette, the child of Fantine, the prostitute. And then he raises her up to be a wonderful young woman. But here's the thing. I love this story so much. It's a story of a man who was forgiven, so he forgave. And that's the thing. If we know anything about God's forgiveness, we should be forgiving people. And yet there are people today, Christians even, that are harboring this anger toward other people. And here's the problem. It's eating you up more than it's eating them up. You know, harboring unforgiveness is like drinking rat poison and hoping the rat will die. It's killing you. It's eating you up inside. So Jesus says, say to the Father, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Listen to this. When you forgive someone, you set a prisoner free yourself. You know, there's actually a new field of research that's been developed on the subject of forgiveness, and recent studies suggest that those who do not forgive are more likely to experience high blood pressure, bouts of depression, problems of anger, stress, and anxiety. One expert said there's robust psychological differences between non-forgiving and forgiving people. They said forgiveness isn't giving in to another person, it's getting free of that person. You know, after the Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln was asked why he made friends of his enemies. Someone said, you should not make friends of your enemies, you should destroy them. And Lincoln responded, am I not destroying my enemies when I make them my friends? See, this is about being free of it yourself and just letting it go. To quote the great theologian Elsa from the film Frozen, let it go. Just let it go and put it in God's hands. The Bible says, avenge not yourself. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Scripture also reminds us, be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. You say, but Greg, they don't deserve forgiveness. Okay, maybe that's actually true. But here's my response. Do you deserve forgiveness? Do I? Answer, no, we don't. So because I've been forgiven, I want to forgive. Forgiven people are forgiving people.
Good insights on the importance of forgiveness today from Pastor Greg Laurie. And he'll have more principles of productive prayer next time here on A New Beginning. But for a copy of this study, get in touch for the title, Secrets to Answered Prayer.
Just go online to harvest.org or call 1-800-821-3300. Again, 1-800-821-3300. Well, Pastor Greg, we're making available the book, I Still Believe, by Jeremy Camp.
Yeah.
It recounts his life and the many struggles he went through, and of course his marriage to a young woman named Melissa, who succumbed to a terminal illness just months after they became husband and wife.
Yes.
I don't mean to make this sound fatalistic, but we all come to the end of this life.
Yeah.
You know, if God provides us supernatural healing from illness today, great. But we still have to face the end of this life at some point. You know, tomorrow, next month, a year, a decade from now.
Mm-hmm.
Do we focus too much on prolonging this life and think too little of the fact that, earthly healing or not, all believers will enjoy life everlasting in the presence of the Lord?
You know, it's interesting. Years ago, people used to write a phrase over their accounting books, over their bank balance. And the phrase was memento mori. And it means think of death. Not in a morbid way, but in a realistic way. The idea being, hey, look at how much money I have in my bank account. Yeah, awesome. Check it out. Memento mori. Think of death. In other words, you'll leave this behind. And so it's just a good reminder to always be ready for the afterlife. You know, only those who are prepared to die are really ready to live. And that means that we know that life is a gift from God. Every beat of our heart is also a gift from God. Every breath that we draw, that's from the Lord. So as the Bible says, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body. So it's actually not a bad thing to always be aware that one day could be your last day, because one day it will be your last day. It's today, tomorrow, 1,000 days from now, only God knows. So don't worry about it. You know, the Bible doesn't say don't think about it. It says don't worry about it. Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. That's what the non-believers are always worried about. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Jesus did not say don't think about these things. We do have to think about what we're going to wear, where we're going to live, where we're going to work, etc. But don't let it consume you. And I would say the same of life in general. It's like, be aware of the afterlife. As the Bible says, set your minds on things above. Or as one translation puts it, think heavenly thoughts. Or even another translation simply sums it up by saying, think heaven. And I think it's a good thing to get up in the morning and just think heaven. And that's exactly what we see in the powerful story of Jeremy and Melissa Camp in the book called I Still Believe. They were young people just starting out in life, and they had to think heaven. They had to think of eternal things because Melissa had cancer. And it appeared that she was healed. In fact, she was. She was in remission, but it did return. And they had to grapple with it. But Jeremy has written down many of the things he learned through this very difficult experience in a book that we're offering to our listeners this month for their gift of any size. And the title of the book is I Still Believe. And the reason we offer resources like this is because we want to encourage you. And I know this will be an encouraging book for you to read. And it might be a really good book to hand on to a loved one that's dealing with some kind of hardship in life. But it also will get you ready for a powerful film that's going to be released nationwide, directed by the Irwin brothers. And the title of the film is the same title of the book. It's I Still Believe. And you'll see a lot of things in the film that are fantastic, but there's things in the book that are not in the film. That's why you want to get the book first and read it, and then go to the theater and hopefully take someone with you that's not a Christian yet and see for yourself what I think is the best film these guys have brought out yet. And they've brought some great ones out. I Still Believe. So again, for your gift of any size, we'll send you this book. Now, some can give a little more, some can't give as much, but everyone can give something. And whatever you give, we'll rush you your copy, and you can read a very inspiring story about how a young man had his faith put to the test, but saw God come through for him.
Yeah, and once again, the book is called I Still Believe. And we'll send it to thank you for partnering with us. We'd invite you to become what we call a harvest partner. These are the close friends of the ministry who appreciate and support the work we're doing, not only here on A New Beginning, but also through Pastor Greg's Harvest Crusades. And they send a gift each month in support. The amount is up to them. Why not get the details by calling 1-800-821-3300? That's 1-800-821-3300. Or send your first gift as a Harvest Partner to A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or just go online to harvest.org. And again, we'll thank you with Jeremy Camp's book, I Still Believe. Well, next time, more of Pastor Greg's insights on seeing our prayers answered. Be sure to join us here on A New Beginning.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.